This episode of the Mike O'Mara Show is brought to you by the TMOS Amazon Portal. Remember to click the Amazon link at tmospodcast.com before you shop. It's that easy. Thank you. Now on with the show.
Hi, I'm Larry King. Do you spend your days rushing to the nearest bathrooms?
Mike O'Mara, Radio Entertainment.
Do you?
You can listen to The Mike O'Mara Show at tmospodcast.com or anywhere fine podcasts are found.
Welcome
to our show.
Now we're going to start and do it right.
It's got to be funky.
So look what I found.
There's plenty for everyone.
It's The Mike O'Mara Show with Mike O'Mara,
Mike!
Josh Schroeder,
Josh!
And Rob Spiewak.
Oh, Rob.
It's only the beginning.
And now, here's Mike.
Hi, this is Larry King. Do you find yourself struggling to go to the bathroom? Hi.
Well, you have to find the bathroom first, Larry.
I find the bathroom. The late Larry King. Weird
to
say that.
Oh, he's dead?
He passed.
That's sad, right?
He's thrown off the mortal coil. He's gone to the hereafter. He's no longer. He is a dead parrot.
He's a dead king.
A dead king.
Whoa!
Mourned by his children, Chance and Cannon.
What about Kaya?
Kaya, the older daughter from a previous...
From one of many previous marriages.
Many previous marriages. There you go. I, Larry King. Hi.
Hi.
How are you? Hey, welcome to the Mike O'Mara Show for a Tuesday, ladies and gentlemen. We mentioned on yesterday's show that we would have a major announcement, and I guess that's on me to do the announcement because I do major announcements on this show, and I have a significant announcement for listeners of this show and also for myself that I will be retiring on January, the weekend of January 21st. That will be our last podcast as the Mike O'Mara Show. And I know this might come as a bit of a shock. Doesn't come as a shock to the boys because we discussed this a week or so ago, and we were talking about what comes next and all that. But I was doing crunching some info, and I realized that I have had my name on a show for in one form or the other, in one medium or the other, for 46 years.
Oh, since I was born.
God.
Yeah. I was going to say about Josh's
years.
Age, right?
Yeah, about what month?
You go back to what year were you born? You were born 1980?
I was born in 1980.
1980. Oh, I probably started commercial radio in 1980 myself.
Right. Yeah. So you've been on the air as long as your wife has been alive.
I have been on the air as long as my wife has been alive, as long as you have been alive.
Yes.
I started at American University.
I was nine when you started, Mike.
You
so,
were nine,
you know, I'm an old timer.
Yes, but he was on TV, not the radio.
That's true.
I started when I was a junior in college in earnest, where that was my first technical, real commercial gig that I did. And then I did that junior and senior year at American University. And then I went to work on, right out of college, I started working in radio. And it's as the very talented Bruce Buffer would say, it's time. The last few years have, in our medium, just like in a lot of broadcasting, radio and digital, been extremely tough, very, very difficult. I have said to our listening audience, we need this, we need this, we need this. We've been doing it together with baling wire and duct tape, and we have, even with all of that, it has been a joy to do this show. And I can talk about that down the road because we've got lots of shows planned between now. And the way we have structured this is that the last podcast we do, and this is what I always said to myself, when I end my career, I want it somehow associated with Jimmy Buffett.
Yeah. Well, I mean, you've been planning it for years. I mean,
that.
Mike, so often, you and Jim, and I like to call him Jim, you and Jim Buffett.
Jim Buffett, right. The late Jim Buffett.
Jim Buffett. your careers have really worked in parallel with you. Like when you owned the restaurant, mm-hmm. what were your busiest days? Except when Jim Buffett would play the Nissan Pavilion.
Jim Buffett
Pavilion.
Would be at Nissan Pavilion with the jamming up Route 66 when he was at it, the pinnacle. And
yeah.
we were a restaurant full of what were called parrot heads.
Older men, right?
It's also the perfect symbol for retirement.
Yes, it is. It is indeed a parrot.
Mike, if I see you hanging around in a Hawaiian shirt, I swear I'm going to hit you on the head with a bottle.
Well,
don't do that.
I'm sure we will have some of those. So it's been challenging in radio and digital. Anybody that pays attention to the business side of things knows Cumulus has been, you know, what's the word I'm using? Summarily, laying off people on a regular basis.
Methodically.
And it's been... terrible for them. The support that we have received over the years for this incarnation of the show has been nothing short of fantastic. We have been thrilled with it. It has been a delight to have the intimacy. I always thought radio was the most intimate medium, and then I found out, no, podcasting is, because you have a captured group of people that have been part of this. And that I will never be able to properly thank everybody that's done that. The support has kept us chugging along, and we're talking about not collective support, individual support. People like Cappy Pfeiffer, mm-hmm. Who is now battling her own demons as she's in a cancer fight. And I wanted to say much love out to Cappy. Hang in there, hang tough. We love you, and good luck with all of that. And Cappy was instrumental in keeping this thing going at the very, 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 very beginning. People like Dirk Vastrick, who they've been so generous. And the list goes on and on and on. I talk about people that have reached out to us at different times when we needed it the most. And even as recently as doing our auction, where we had that and people kept this thing chugging along, it really is appreciated by every single one of us. And I'm thrilled that I've been able to do this as long as I've done it. But when I was thinking to myself when I was contemplating this move of retirement, and I don't consider it early retirement, I consider it retiring at the age of 67.
Actually, it's a little late, isn't it? 2 years late.
Druthers, I would have done it when I was in my mid-40s, but that didn't work out that well. But I love...
How close did you ever get? Did you ever get close enough that you thought you could just say, I'm done now?
No.
I bet two less wives than you could.
100%. That
and you know what? I think it's also, it should be mentioned that both wives have retired. And doing quite well.
I never thought about it after, I wrote this down. I wanted to make sure I got it right. When we started this enterprise, mm-hmm. The podcast, and Rob, I mentioned Josh, Rob, and I because Rob was part of it at the beginning. We started it in 2009. I really expected it to be a side hustle, and that side hustle has continued for 17 years, which blows me out of the water that this thing continued. This was a
longer than you were at WJFK.
Longer than I was at JFK. It was a backup plan mm-hmm. to being back on the radio. I started this podcast and took another job after I was at CBS Radio for a very long time, and that format changed, and then it was the podcast. And at that point I went, it's just the podcast. That's what I want to focus on. With that in mind, I did not perceive that podcasts would be the way people consume this kind of medium.
Well, it was so
three guys
early.
Talking heads and
if
all
you go
stuff.
Back to December 7th, 2009, podcasting was so foreign to everybody then. We were real early on the boat. And I remember we had a lunch together, Mike, with some other people. And they had to explain to us really what a podcast was.
Right.
And I mean, the whole notion and the way that it was really the first thing that sunk into me, it's like radio DVR.
Yeah.
It's going to be there for you whenever you want to listen. And while we were accustomed to doing 4 hours a day every day, the hard thing was wrapping our head around the fact that no one was listening to all 4 hours.
Right.
We were just leaving a four-hour window they could listen. Now we're giving them an hour or so that they could listen to on their schedule, and it made perfect sense. But that doesn't mean anyone outside of podcasters knew what podcasting was.
No, but I believe, Mike, weren't your famous words, "I'm not one of you"?
Not one of you.
First
I
episode.
Remember that. I remember saying that because some guy, I don't even remember the guy's name, said, "Welcome to the family." And this is a guy that really was, did it out of the mother's basement. And it was just, I wanted to make sure that, I was still in my heart, and I always have been, a radio person.
Yeah.
That's what I think of myself as. It's just something that, that I never really wrapped my head around until we were well into it. And then it just grew around us. And I was looking at that saying, wow, okay, this is a thing. And then everybody started doing it. Mm-hmm. And that was only in the last 7 to 10 years that everyone started doing it. And because of that, it's been a challenge because so many people do it. And like radio, very similar to radio, certain personalities dominate. And that's always the way it's been. It's been that way for broadcasting as well. Certain people dominate and the other people struggle. That's kind of the way it goes. Go ahead, Josh.
I think there was a change in podcasting through the pandemic where that's where you saw the celebrities move to the podcasting of, oh, I can just do this from my home.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. There was a lot
of that affected things.
Yeah, I believe Saturday Night Live did an episode that was essentially podcast from the people's homes during the pandemic.
It was very mocked too. Yeah. The format and podcasts were mocked, and now not so much anymore because this is what a lot of people do. Now, the problem with it is that much like when radio was live and local, you had good and you had very bad. And in the world of podcasting, you have good and you have very, very bad. But even the good, there's a lot of it. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of it compared to, say, streaming television. Streaming television, there's bad and good, but it's much more limited than podcasts where
podcasting,
you don't know where to start or where it ends with podcasts.
Podcasting is so niche that when you got your start, you weren't what is known as a full-service station, but still, you had to appeal to the widest swath of people you could.
That's what program directors said.
That's really what radio at that time was based in. Now, let's say you want to talk about crocheting. There are 14 podcasts that are dedicated to crocheting.
Right.
That's it. So, right. What we do is a little bit of a limited, it's a little bit old school because we cover a lot of stuff, and that's kind of fun.
But yesterday, Josh and I were having an exchange, and this is when
I heard the yelling.
This is when the funny comes into play because Josh is great at thinking one or two steps ahead, and we've had discussions on how this is going to look, and I'll mention it in a second what's next, because the guys are definitely going to be continuing on, which is that's as great as it gets for me. The thing about doing the last show on the cruise ship is that Josh hits me yesterday with have you thought about what we could rename the cruise?
Yeah.
And suddenly I found myself in a very awkward position to not really know what to say to him, and I just didn't know.
You did a text.
When it hit me a little bit, right?
You did a text that we very rarely see from you, which is, let me get back to you.
Yes. I didn't have
because you are not you are clue. Not a get back to you later type of guy. You're a make a decision in
because
the moment
I
type
name,
of guy.
I name things, and I'm a namer. I've always been a namer. I'm good at it, and I do that all the time. And then this one was just like, and so Josh, 2 minutes before we started taping this podcast, Josh comes to me, and the funny of it is so funny that I have to share it with you right now, because as opposed to the TMOS Cruise 2027, we are now going to refer to the cruise as the Final Voyage. The final voyage. There
I love it.
Is.
I love
the final,
it.
Right under my chin.
It's so great because we really didn't have a name or an angle leading up to it, and now we've got something real solid.
Oh,
a theme, Mike.
God.
It's an absolute theme.
I can't believe. And then Rob came in with the music for Titanic. All right, turn that crap off.
That's Celine Dion.
Yeah, the TMOS cruise. And listen, it would be disingenuous for me to say that I thought this would be a really, really good way to boost the ticket sales, the cabin sales on the cruise ship. But I'm not faking this. This is real.
I was going to say, will you go on the record saying that this is not a stunt?
It's not a stunt. It's
okay.
Not a stunt. I'm not going to say on the cruise. I'm going to. Well, you never say never to anything. You never do. But I have every intention of making this the last TMOS show that we do.
Island are you staying on?
I am.
Mike will do an excursion on Cozumel, and whether or not he makes it back remains to be seen.
By the way, I have. I don't want to take anything away from that fine Mexican town.
Island, isn't it more than a town?
Well, it's a town on an island.
Yeah, okay. It's still a town in Mexico.
A town in Mexico. And I was reviewing the top 20, like the worst to first locations for cruise ships.
Yeah.
And I think that Cozumel was really good, but you have to travel. So I think you have to plan your excursion so you can see some very cool stuff.
Do they have an expensive water park?
I don't think they do. I don't think they do.
Do they have a place where
you know what the worst one is?
Jello shots? What?
The worst one is Nassau.
No, I have no problem with that.
Well,
that makes
Nassau,
perfect
where,
sense.
Yeah. Where they are reaching into your wallet before you even get off gangplank. You know what I mean? The gangway.
I've heard from so many people that are experienced cruisers that unless you've got something you got to see on the excursion, that's the time to stay on the boat. Because
by the way,
the boat is not crowded and you don't have to deal with all the nonsense
of
the excursion.
I'm thinking on the fly right here because somebody says, make sure we have all the old content to re-listen to, please. That's something we haven't talked about. So, maybe we'll have that available.
Yeah,
we
can come up with a way to make that possible.
Most of it is available on the new app. You can go and search by title. You can go back in history. Yeah, so, you can grab it.
So, if you were on the fence about joining us, please. I'd love to have as many of you as possible for final show. Now stop.
No, Mike, that is not. No, you know, for someone, there are people out there.
Yes, what?
There are people out there that when they grew up, radio was very important to them. I can't even explain it to my 25-year-old daughter how important radio was when I was her age. And because of that, I wanted to do it, and this is the honest truth. If it hadn't been for you and Don on the radio, I wouldn't have done it.
Mm-hmm.
So you have steered my life in ways that you don't even know about. Most of the good things in my life that happened to me is due to my association with you, and the fact that you are leaving the airwaves to me is historic, and I think it is to a lot of people.
I appreciate that. I think that the another very pleasant thing is that you are continuing with Josh. We don't. I wrote this down. Frankly, I don't know what to expect in the future, but I do plan to have a future in digital, just not long form podcasts anymore. That's not the case with Rob and Josh. I'm not sure. You know, we were talking last week and this week about what that looks like, and we haven't nailed that down just yet.
It
so,
is
I mean,
mostly
that's not,
what
know.
We're doing. I mean, just to be vague, have you ever seen the show The Amazing Race? It's kind of half Amazing Race and half Fear Factor. So it's going to be, exciting though. It's big stuff.
But I think that, there comes a time when you're just like saying to yourself, I've enjoyed the idea of coming in and flapping my gums about anything that excites me, bothers me, makes me emotional, makes me happy, makes me sad. And that will be, I'm 100% sure that's going to be what I miss the most is coming in and sharing. There have been times in my life that things have been going well where I have just love sharing things on the podcast. There have been times in my life on radio and on a podcast where I've been going through, you know, some of the worst things a person can go through. And having the ability to come in here and talk into a microphone and share has been fantastic. It's a weird type of person that can do this every single day. You have to be, we've discussed it, you have to be a little broken. You have to be somewhat of an exhibitionist. You love to share. And you know, having this and having it go away is going to be, you know, when I wake up, when we get back from the cruise, and I'm realizing, oh my God, I'd love to get in here and talk about that. I think that there will be, you know, little shorts that will be involved in my life. And I've even talked to my wife about it, that, you know, a little blurb here, a little blurb there. I look forward to doing that as well, just to share, because I don't want to stop sharing.
You say that sharing is what you will miss the most. At number two, would you say it's onboarding client calls for the podcast, where you have to 100%. Talk to advertisers?
You know, it's funny. You mentioned that I what Rob refers to is that with clients, and Rob and Josh have both relieved me of a lot of that responsibility. Oh, and by the way, coming out publicly with this, we've been discussing this for a while now. But with the modified schedule, that's the wind down as well. That you know, as opposed to coming in and saying I'm done,
right.
See you later. You know, I thought we'd have a long window, but at the same time, I you know, I came to this decision because I'm done and I'm ready to end things, and I wanted to modify the schedule as well. So when I read that people are like, you know, hey, what's that all about? Well, what that is all about, hopefully now you know that, you know, I come in here through a Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, do a bonus show on Wednesday, and you get me 4 days a week and you get the other guys on the fifth day. And that helps with their transition as well. Rob and Josh are two guys that have been there for me every step of the way, and they are also they have developed a very, very unique friendship that translates into the show as well. And who knows what the future looks like with that, but you guys, I don't speak for you, but I know you are planning to do your own thing as well, correct?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Okay. So,
and
that's
we
it.
Hope
yeah.
many people come along for the ride. It's
Josh,
going
do you want
to be...
speak up on that one? I didn't hear from you. I wasn't sure.
Yes.
Well, he's just finding out about it.
Yeah. I think we'll do something.
Thank you, Josh.
No, we
appreciate it so much.
We have as you said earlier, we talked a week and a half ago or so about this, and since then, Rob and I have been laying down plans, and we're almost ready to announce what we'll be doing, but we want today to be about you and your career.
Yeah, and you know, but I did. I think people do get concerned
to an
about
extent,
stuff like that.
I mean, still got entertained.
Yes. People are dying to be entertained.
They are,
you know, and you know, whatever you do, I'd love to come back and visit too.
Oh, you know, you have no. We said this behind the scenes, open invitation. You know,
we're going to need retirement updates.
Yeah.
And Little League updates.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Amen. Yeah. So let me see. I want to make sure I get everything. Yeah, you guys have plans to continue. I'm excited for what they plan to do with their continued love of the medium. And when we sail into the sunset on January 21st, the weekend of January 21st, 2020, turn it off.
It's just, it's a little musical theming, Mike.
The Into the Sunset, January 21st, 2027, the Mike O'Mara Show on that boat in the middle of the ocean, the Gulf of America.
And what? That's not where we're going to be, is it?
We will.
No, I think we will be.
We will tape our last episode, and it will be in front of a live audience. And we are very, very excited. And yes,
will take the tape of that actual last podcast.
Yes,
and shoot it off the side of the boat as burial at sea.
Right.
It's going to be that'll be a second ceremony. That's just beautiful.
Now I will entertain questions from both my co-hosts and also anyone in the comments that has any question. Someone says, can we jettison Mike like they did Osama bin Laden?
No, because he has plans.
I have plans. I have plans. The long-term plans.
What if it's a dummy?
Like,
just dressed up as you.
Have a
are you talking about me?
have a virtual, a fake burial at sea. No, I'm not dying. I'm just no longer doing the Mike O'Mara show. And by the way, to the best of my knowledge, I have no major health issues, and I'm happy about that.
Did we save the receipt on your backdrop? Do you think we can get any money back on that?
I think I threw away the... I think I threw away with the last garage cleaning. I threw away the container. I mean, not the container, the tube.
That it comes in. I guess it would also be safe to get rid of the lighting attachment, the gobo that goes on stage lights that says the Mike O'Mara show.
Yeah.
Where are those hiding? Those are in my safe.
They're in your safe.
Yeah. I mean, I was told to keep these very safe, and I did. I put them in my safe.
Show the artwork again for the final voyage. I want to look at. There's something about that.
Even if it's just a bar each time.
No, I think they're linked.
Yeah, no. I do too.
I think if the logo shows, the music has to play.
I don't like that.
It's just a taste.
I like the logo. I like the idea. I don't like the Titanic music. I don't.
Biggest selling movie of all time. Come on, let's hitch our wagon to a star. Yeah.
Please don't do that to me. Find other sad music. That is it. I don't know why I hate it that much, Rob, but I do.
We're going to shoot you at the end of the cruise, dropping your microphone into the water.
That's right. And Daniel, I will draw him naked in a car.
Daniel Thurber says, can we auction off a sprinkling of Mike's at? All right. I'm not dying.
No.
I am not dying. I am no longer doing the Mike O'Mara show.
There is no health.
Mike,
again, you can say it on the record. There is no health issue at play here.
Yeah, but I do.
And nobody's winking.
Right. I tell you, I do love the idea of a Viking funeral, though. I've never watched that show, but I get lots of clips of the show Vikings. Did either one of you ever watch Vikings
at all?
No,
I'm not a football fan.
That's who they played. That's who the Giants lost to in their preseason game.
Sad, right?
Yeah. Nice to see our main man, Jackson Dart, almost got another season-ending concussion. Like in preseason.
That's the Commanders' game plan.
That's the thing about the NFL. You never know when someone is going to have their last play of the season. It's the nature of the beast with the collision sports. Yes, go ahead.
I've got a question for
you. Okay, fire away.
While chat gets their questions ready.
All right.
Until yesterday, you were very uncomfortable with the word retire.
Yes.
To the point of not letting us say retire or retirement. And I noticed yesterday you started using that word.
Yep.
Because it's the truth. I am retiring from doing this show. My plans are to have a digital presence, but in short form. That's what I'm doing. I've already researched there's going to be a new name for it, and it's going to be something that gets it out of my system, and I wanted it to be organic. And the problem with content like that is you have to think differently, because you really want it to be grabbing and compelling. And I've done some things that are and some things that aren't. And that is something that, as we wind down to the end of January 2027, I'm going to have to kind of figure that out in my own mind as far as what that's going to look like, because I'd love to make it something that has a little entertainment value. That's all. That's the way I think about it.
We've always done this show. It has to have just a little entertainment value.
Just a little bit. I look back on this show and I think people that have listened for a long time would agree that the podcast years of this show, the 17 years doing this, I have never been happier at my work.
Even more so than with Kirk?
I was so unhappy during
that time. You were cranky. Those were the ice cream cone
eras. I was cranky because Don and I had a way of doing radio that was very methodical and very prepared and very organized. And suddenly I went into an environment where I realized not all people work that way. And it was kind of difficult
for me to
deal with.
Still got that song Booty Call in every Friday, though.
Okay. He was always jealous.
It bothered
Jeff
me.
Shamrock.
Yeah. Yes. Well, Jeff Shamrock, I'll say it. I'll go on the record. He's a dick.
JLP Design says, what triggered you to make this decision. Most of your fans were hoping you would make it to 75. What triggered this decision was the nature of, it's always been my entire career, the tough part has always been the non-microphone part, the part behind the scenes, the business part. The challenges of that have always been such that, you know, that's always what gets to me. And that's what the catalyst was, time as well.
The worst part of radio, and when we got into podcasting, it actually got a lot easier, but it was still there. And it still sucks. The right. business of it sucks. Especially, we're such a small unit operating, too. Three-man team, essentially.
And my vision for this show is we've gotten an awful lot out of just the three of us doing this show. But the challenges of, in order to, from a standpoint of content creation, I would have preferred more of a variety of people to interact with. And unfortunately, the catch-22, if you're not one of the biggies, that's a greater challenge than it's ever been based on the number of people that do this. Uh-huh. And so that was another one. But that also is kind of a behind-the-scenes element. As far as the decision, I knew it would happen the way it happened. I knew it would get to a point where I'm like, it's time to move on, and it's time to smell the roses. I am still challenged to involve myself in everything I want to involve myself in with doing a regular show and prepping a regular show and carving that out each and every day.
You told me when I joined, I have about 2 years left. And by the end of this, it'll be about three.
Yeah, it's true. Yeah.
So that's kind of where we were with all of this. And, the biggest, one of the best surprises was having Josh with his very unique personality.
I agree.
Come into the fold here. And I would not want anybody to think that my
decision. He ruined
decision,
it?
Text saying, Mike, it's time.
The elephant in the room would always be, if we look back, I don't care how you feel about my politics or Josh's politics, but we were able to, I think, demonstrate better than many, many others how two people can have diametrically opposed views on things and still coexist based on common ground.
True.
And that has not only helped me as a podcaster, but it's helped me as a person, because I really think that you can't make any progress at all if you're just going to go F you,
and can't then shut them out.
The divide is there. If anything, Rob has been more vocal to you because you guys are better friends. I think that's fascinating. I hope that continues. I think that's great. It's a Hulkamania says I woke up late, so you guys have to start the show over.
All right, here we go.
It's funny that when Josh mentioned the idea of the retirement, I don't think it was that word as much as what Rob wanted to do was the farewell tour. I don't like the word farewell.
To be perfectly honest, Josh and I had about 10 words that we mentioned in the meeting, and you didn't like any of them. Yes. So eventually I just said, okay, I'm not doing this anymore, because I meant nothing bad by it.
Well, I told you for years, please try to do as little thinking as possible.
I think hard, it hurts. It hurts right here.
I found it with The Final Voyage is so funny.
It is.
And it is so hysterical that don't.
I'm not.
I know you were reaching for it.
Mike, my hands are fucking folded. All right. Okay. I'm not going to do it because it's not funny if I do it now. It's funny if I do it in a half an hour, but it's not funny right now.
We're talking about the Titanic music.
The Titanic
music. That's what he's saying. All right. So JLP said, what I don't understand is if you already knew you were done in two, why the fundraising auctions pushing the bonus? It made us feel you intended to go on and on. Because those fundraisers are literally to make payroll next week.
Check to check is how this show
that
operates.
That is check to check. As much as I hate to say that, that is the way it went. And, you know, and that's the first. I knew I would get a little pushback on this. It's never clean. It's never easy, but it's the way it is, you know. Now, Hulkamania says, I don't like farewell either. My wife gets pissed that I don't say goodbye. To me, those are final. If I say farewell or goodbye, let's see. I'm not expecting to see the person again. Okay, I get it. All right.
Remember, Mike, it's not goodbye. It's just so long.
Fan since 1994, John keeps on trucking, says, I only recently found the podcast. I blame the person who labeled you Mike Old Mara a few weeks back. No, that's funny.
That was an episode name.
That was hysterical. I love that. And you know what? This does not apply to most radio shows or most podcasts, but to this one it does. If you don't like ball busting, you're on the wrong show. If you tune in, that's the whole purpose of this show, has been doing that, you know. And there are other more successful podcasts, a la Kill Tony, that have built entire shows around the ball busting, but they are rare and they are special. And I've always loved that. And as a matter of fact, there is nothing to me that makes me laugh more than if somebody takes an arrow and hits their mark when they're talking about me. That's fucking hysterical. One of the things where radio, television, everything like this just left me cold was when we got into the era of Bill O'Reilly and Sean Hannity, where everything I say is correct. I know everything. I cannot be disputed. This is the way it is. I'm great. I'm fantastic. I do this. And these pundits that do these political shows, it's so overwhelmingly rude to me.
Yeah. That's a good word for it.
Do that. You know, where it's just like, I'm the best. I was raised in an era where I remember Muhammad Ali and how much my father could not stand Muhammad Ali and so wanted Joe Frazier because he hated the bragging of Muhammad Ali. My father couldn't stand it. He came from a different era where you don't brag, you know. And I remember reading an article about George Herbert Walker Bush.
Yes.
Who was playing baseball on the Yale baseball team, and somebody got bullied, and HW stood up for him because you had that chip back in the day where it's not me, 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 and all that.
I've done a couple projects with the
Howard. Howard did the same thing. I'm the best. I'm the greatest. I'm the, you know, I mean, it gets old.
I've worked a little bit with the George Herbert Walker Bush Library and some of the relatives of the Bush family, and they're all very nice. But to a person, they always say, growing up, we weren't allowed to brag. Right. And the very fact that, you know, if you're a president who has a son who's a president, who has a son who's also a governor,
right,
I think you've earned a little bit a right to brag, but it was forbidden in that household. They said, you want to take your energy for bragging? Put it into public service. Turn it into something good.
Are you kidding me that Howard announced his retirement yesterday? Is that true?
I think we would have heard of it.
I think that would have been on my news feed today. I didn't see anything about it. I know he's going down to like 1 hour.
Is he referring to Howard Stern? Could be another Howard.
I don't know whether that's true.
Could be Clint Howard or Ron Howard.
I know he was cutting back, and that's too funny. That's it, folks.
I do have a question,
that's what it
though.
Is. Yes.
We've gone through changes, and Mike, it does pain me that you and I won't make it to 34 years together.
Mm-hmm.
Only 33 and a change.
Okay.
We've been through so many changes in this show. Was it weird to go through a change in the show that didn't result from yelling?
You mean
this was the most docile, understanding, friendly parting of people I've ever seen. I mean, it was just so easy.
Well,
and we've been through hell before.
Yeah,
so.
I really think that it's been a peaceful time since Josh joined the show.
Mm-hmm.
We punched through a little business stuff, Josh and me at the beginning. And then other than that, it is what it is. And I think that I was very upfront, as Josh mentioned before, about what my plans were going forward. And in no small way, that relationship with the two of you guys is what made me do it another year. I think that that's the way I felt. It's really something that it's almost like having a kid. It comes up on you and you go, yep, I'm okay with that. Yeah. And that's what I said. And it's a scary time too when you have a family and you're moving on. I am in a position that I will have that online presence, not just because I want to be nice, but because I also want to have a presence online. Sure. And do what I can with that, hopefully. But it's not guaranteed, and so it's the new frontier and it's a new area, and I am very, very happy to be at this stage where I have done this for so long. When I mentioned 40, you did the math.
You want to hear some numbers?
On some numbers. Listen, Robin, then we can get to under
earth. Now, keep in mind, these figures were done before the show, so you need to add 41 minutes to all of these. Okay. easy math, of course, was the podcast. We've done 4,795 episodes.
Oh, my God.
And those are about 80 minutes each, okay? We have done 760 bonus shows. They're an hour each. Mm-hmm. You did about 16 years at WJFK. You did, I thought it was longer, about 7 years at WAVA in the morning. You did about 12 months with Kirk. We did 2 years or so as the Mike O'Mara Show on WJFK after the Don and Mike Show ended. And so figuring in, and these are conservative estimates. I tried to figure in vacation and stuff like that. So, like, for example,
you actually did that detail.
For the weeks for the Don and Mike Show, I did take out 9 weeks a year for vacation, but
that must have been nice.
Mike, the total I've come, you have spent 28 hours on the air. No, I'm kidding. this is a conservative estimate, and I couldn't believe the way the numbers stacked up. You have spent, by my estimate, and this doesn't count pre WAVA stuff. This doesn't count you as a college jock or
right.
The Bay Country 103 era or anything like that.
WYRE in Annapolis, Maryland.
Mm-hmm. 28,995 hours on the air,
oh my God.
Which is 1,739,700 minutes, and of course the ever-changing 104,382,000 seconds have been on the radio. They say you need to do something for 10,000 hours to be an expert.
Mm-hmm.
You're three times an expert, essentially. That's amazing to me.
I'm happy with those numbers, and happy with the idea of. I think that played into it probably subconsciously to me that we were going to do this cruise in January, and that we were committed to doing that. And when you're committed to doing something down the road, mm-hmm. it makes you realize, well, this is a good. I always liked that people could give a little bit of leeway, in a broadcast retirement sense, a la the talk show hosts that have done it, because that,
Johnny did it, Letterman did it. You want to have a run up to it.
I think it's a really good way to treat the audience, and I like that. Even though I'm a tiny little flea in that equation, but it's kind of cool, and the cruise played a role in that, or as we will now refer to it, ladies and gentlemen, the final voyage. Can we see? Can you make that larger so I can get a better look at it?
That's what she said.
Let me just see what that looks like.
It looks just great.
It does look great.
There it is. Now I gotta play it. Like,
final voyage and sunset.
That is beautiful. And, I don't know how high your computer's resolution is. If you zoom in, you can see Mike. He's on the third deck there.
Hold Hulkamania says, without the show, you'll be able to move to the Villages without judgment and play pickleball every day. 1,000 jewels from David. Thank you very much. Goat Trophy. That's very sweet of
that
you.
That was your old DJ that. Name.
Goat. Yes, that was.
Goat Trophy.
Goat Trophy. That's out. So that's the announcement. You have it. It's there. Join us. We have cabins available on the final voyage. And sounds a little ominous, but please join us.
I just want to say the people that didn't bid on dinner with you, what a bad mistake.
And I, you know what? And my ego does come into play where now I really do hope, Josh, that this results in a doubling of the cabin sales for the final voyage. I really do. A tripling.
Yeah, yeah, I'd like that. Yeah,
a tripling.
The man has spent 30,000 hours on the air entertaining you. Buy a ticket.
Thank you. Well, a cabin, not a ticket. A ticket. It's not a live show. It's a cabin to join us for four nights.
Yeah, but you need to buy a ticket to get on the boat.
Yeah, very good. All right, we'll take a break and we'll come back with more tidbits right here on the Mike O'Mara Show. Whoa, whoa. Some of the greatest things in history have come from great pairings, but none of them can compare to the newest partnership that's the talk of the town, also the county. It's the one you've been waiting for, the Mike O'Mara Show and Jimmy's Old Town Tavern. It's your chance to try the award-winning Jot Hot Wing Sauce. It's easy to bring the great taste of Jimmy's to your own home, no matter where you live. Just go to jimmystavern.com and click on Jot Wing Sauce to order a bottle of the world's best buffalo wing sauce. You can also click the link at tmospodcast.com. Jot Hot pairs perfectly with anything and everything. May we recommend wings? Celery, blue cheese, an ice cold beverage. It's like having Jimmy in your own home. Well, maybe. Coloring book not included. Even better, you can support the show and save a dollar when you enter the code TMOS at checkout. All hail the king of the wings. Go to jimmystavern.com and stock up. Support Jimmy, support us. It'll be okay. And remember, please sauce responsibly. Thank you very much, and hit the music, Slim. We're ready for tidbits right now on the Mike O'Mara Show. Whoa, de whoa, whoa, whoa. We start out with one of the products that one of the big three actually use daily, and that's Tesla. Tesla's biggest
fans... Is it a lawnmower?
It's a lawnmower. Tesla's biggest fans are starting to ask whether Elon Musk has lost focus on the car company. The company is still one of the most recognizable names in electric vehicles, but Musk has been dividing his attention among Tesla, space exploration, artificial intelligence, and his other business interests. Some longtime Tesla backers are now questioning whether the company is getting enough of his attention at a time when competition in electric vehicles is exploding. The interesting part is that this isn't just criticism from Tesla haters. Some of the people raising the questions are investors who have been deeply loyal to Musk. Do you ever think about that at all, Josh?
Yeah, does it affect you?
No,
do you feel?
I think it's silly to be worried about this one guy. Like, I think Tesla would run fine without him involved at all.
That's an interesting take on that. Yeah. I think that's I agree with you, by the way.
You think the infrastructure that he left is solid enough that the company will continue?
Yeah, I mean, he's got the robotics down. He's just casting a vision. Other guys do all the work.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, all the details and the nuts and bolts. And I think really my opinion of the car company is, doesn't the car company continue to innovate and get better?
Yeah.
I mean, that's what they do.
It's like saying when Steve Jobs left, Apple would be done.
Yeah.
No, it was a whole company.
Yeah. There's smart people there.
I hear that Musk is going to retire in January.
Final car. Pete Crow Armstrong. Do you know that guy's name?
Chicago
Do you know his
Cubs.
Name? He is having one hell of a season for the Cubs.
Oh.
Monday night, he hit a leadoff home run and then came back in the 10th inning and hit a walk-off home run to beat the White Sox 7-5. That makes him only the sixth player in MLB history to hit both a leadoff and walk-off homer in the same game. He also just reached his second straight 30-homer, 30-stolen-base season. Meanwhile, Shohei Ohtani hit two home runs for the Dodgers because apparently one home run just isn't enough.
Yeah,
for
they travel
anymore.
In pairs, don't they?
That's
yeah.
very, very exciting. We have more sports news. My team, the New York Giants, have people actually feeling optimistic. That's always dangerous. Yes. After losing their preseason opener to Minnesota, a 13-10, the Giants are getting good reviews for some of their young players. Jackson Dart showed some promising moments, and the defense has generated a lot of energy under new head coach John Harbaugh. The Giants are still a team with a lot to prove, but for the first time in a while, there's a little buzz around them. Now, as a Giants fan who watched the game over the weekend, I will tell you, even though they lost, you know, they bring in the scrubs and the third stringers and the end of the game, so it doesn't really matter in preseason, but I will tell you that the first teamers looked very good, looked very, very, very good, but there was a moment where Jackson Dart got smashed by a defensive lineman or maybe a cornerback that was blitzing, and I thought he was done. I thought he was done for the season. That's how hard the hit was. He's got to avoid those hits. It helps if Tyrone Tracy stands in front of the guy and maybe attempts just a slight block of him.
In your in your expert opinion, how do the Vikings look?
I don't care. I don't care. The real test will come September 13th when they open the regular season against the Dallas Cowboys.
Oh, America's team.
Well, then, I hope they play real well.
Well, then, hey. Hollywood is starting to realize that people have the attention span of a golden retriever.
Yes.
Watching a ceiling fan. A new form of entertainment is called, I don't know if you've heard about this, microdramas. Have you heard of this?
Do they all star Mike Rowe from Dirty Jobs?
Mike Rowe, yeah. 300 miles to the east. The
hey, Mike Rowe, you know what? You're
yeah,
a
Rob.
Dick.
Well, hold on. Hold on a second. Yeah, Rob.
Mike, you're a dick. Mike Rowe, you're a dick.
500 miles to the south.
Yeah. All right. Are you standing in poop?
Poop. Everywhere. Microdramas, yes.
Well, that's your next thing after TMOS. Microdramas.
Yeah, well, Mike O dramas.
Mike.
is what they'll be called.
Microdramas are exploding in popularity with very short, highly addictive, serialized stories designed specifically for phone screens. The format started taking off in China and is now becoming a big business in the United States. The episodes are short, the stories are over the top, and they're designed to keep you clicking from one episode to the next. Basically soap operas for people who can't sit through a commercial.
This is stupid. This is like if you, when I was a kid, there was a show called 321 Contact. It was on PBS, and they had a mini show in, called The Bloodhound Gang. And each episode was like 90 seconds, but it was a mystery show, so it took forever to tell the story. So they're just redoing the Bloodhound Gang or Spin and Marty or anything like that.
Well, and a few years ago, there was a push for let's make content vertical and TV shows, and a bunch of companies invested in it and it went out of business. I think Kevin Hart was attached to it.
Mm-hmm. You know, the only thing I can add to this is that Mrs. O'Mara was scrolling last night and, you know, I don't think this is any kind of bulletin, but it said that young athletes, little leaguers, high school, middle school athletes, you should eliminate any telephone, any phone, cell phone, an hour prior to athletic competition because it makes the brain all...
You know what? I try not to screen before bed. I try to give my mind an hour before bed before I'm on the screen.
Every,
it's tough.
Every study in the world would tell you that that's exactly what you should do. I want to throw this name out because I had not heard it until I started researching this story. Kratom. K-R-A-T-O-M. Have you... Either one of you heard of this substance?
The best mac and cheese on the shelf is made
that's
by
Kraft.
What?
Rob.
No, Kratom, then I don't know Kratom.
Kratom is starting to look a lot less like a harmless natural herbal product and a lot more like a serious public health problem. Hmm. The new a new CDC analysis found that calls to the U.S. poison centers involving Kratom. I hope it's K-R-A-T-O-A.
It's got to be Kratom.
K-R-A-T-O-M, like Kraken, right?
Yeah.
They rose from 258 in 2015. I guess it's been around for a while, to 3,434 in 2025. That is an increase of about 1,200%. And the big jump wasn't just people calling because they felt a little sick. The report found increases in serious outcomes, including hospitalizations, seizures, abnormal heart rhythms, liver problems, and breathing difficulties. Kratom comes from a tree native to Southeast Asia, and it acts on the brain's opioid. No help. Opioid receptors, at lower amounts, people may use it for energy or alertness. At higher amounts, it can produce opioid-like effects. The problem is that products sold in gas stations, smoke shops, and online can vary wildly in potency, and some concentrated products contain much higher levels of 7-O than ordinary kratom leaf.
I bemoan the whole notion of buying anything that even approaches medicine at a gas station counter. I mean, yeah. if they package it and put it with like the Bayer aspirin on an aisle, maybe. Right. But don't buy that stuff that's on the counter.
But get yourself a nice apple fritter.
I love an apple fritter.
It's They're nice. Delicious in the gas station. I don't care how long they've been sitting there. It's the preservatives. Finally today, there is a movie in China that may have discovered the most powerful marketing strategy of all time.
What is it?
Make everybody say it sucks. It's an animated film called New Lie. N-I-U-L-A-I, New Lie. Mm-hmm. It has been mocked online for its extremely basic, almost eerie-looking 3D animation. People have been making fun of how bad the characters look, and somehow that negative buzz has helped turn the movie into a box office smash.
Terrific.
So there may be a lesson here for Mike O'Mara Show listeners. If everybody says your show is terrible, don't panic. You just need more people to say it. Yeah! Final voyage, everybody! All right, we'll take a little break. We will step out. For a second. Actually, I'm not doing anything but sitting down, so I'm not going anywhere. I'm just going to read you what I've got here because that's what I do. This portion of the program brought to you by Vinted, a new sponsor for the Mike O'Mara Show. Whoa, whoa, whoa. Vinted. Today's episode is brought to you by our brand new partner. Welcome aboard, Vinted. Are you like me? I bet you are. I recently took a good look at my closet and realized something. I have clothes in there I haven't worn in years. Oh, that's me all the way.
Yeah.
You know the ones. Oh, I'll wear that again. No, you won't. Meanwhile, they're taking up space and potentially leaving money just sitting there on a hanger. Boy, this sounds like maybe what Josh is up to. That's why you need Vinted. We all need Vinted. Vinted is a secondhand marketplace app that makes it easy for regular people like you and me to sell pre-loved clothes. Pre-loved. I love that.
Yep.
And make some extra money. The whole process is ridiculously simple. Listing an item is quick and easy. When something sells, Vinted creates the prepaid shipping label for you. Best of all, there are no seller fees. So you actually keep every dollar you earn. Mm-hmm. Just ask Josh Soroka. We call him the Binmeister, and he used Vinted for the clothes he sells. Suddenly, cleaning out the closet doesn't feel like a chore. It feels like finding money you forgot you had. Plus, those clothes get a second life instead of sitting there gathering dust, and you get some extra room for something you'll actually wear. So, what's hiding in your closet? Hey, what's in your wallet? Download the Vinted app for free and start listing today. There are no seller's fees. You keep everything you earn, and for a limited time, there's free shipping in the U.S. Clean out the closet, make some extra money, and give your clothes a second life, and do it with Vinted. And we thank you, Vinted. Very
I love
cool.
It. Good for
Very
good
cool to have them. All right. When movies are full of themselves. This will be very brief. I'm not going to linger on this.
This kind of ties back into that Japanese thing. Is this movie so bad you need to talk about it?
No, it's not. Maybe if it was, it would be more fun, but it's not. It's not. This is a 2025 movie. I streamed it last night. Mrs. O'Mara and I stayed with it because it had Julia Roberts and Andrew Garfield, two very prominent actors that are supposed to be very, very good.
Did he ever climb inside her mouth in this movie? Because he's tiny.
He's very small, man. I am tired. I've watched my last self-important, self-righteous, self-serving, self-indulgent film. It is just tedious. Julia Roberts plays a Yale college professor. So you've got that part where they're all like
typecasting.
Where it's like, aren't we intellectually ahead of everybody else? And so you got that. Now, I don't mind that because I like smart people and I value.
Thank you, Mike.
I value educated people, not you. Oh. I value educated people And I think that we are in a period of time where that isn't valued enough. So I'm okay with that.
All right.
But when it's all the pretense and very
little. What did Garfield play?
You know, here's a great, you know what a great example of intellectual achievement is? Good Will Hunting. That's one of the, that is just, that shows you what brain power can do. It really, really does. And, you know, and you get the pretense of the university, but you also get the value of study and intellectual accomplishment. You get that out of them. This movie, not so much. This movie just meanders.
Well, she plays a Yale professor or a Yale graduate? Yale professor.
Yale professor.
Right?
Yale
what does Andrew Garfield play?
He plays another professor, and they are both up for tenure. And
oh,
they have had
no!
And she is married to a different guy, but they have a past.
I see. And the name of the movie is?
Is, let me see, I wrote it down, After the Hunt with Julia Roberts.
Okay. Hunt is the word.
Okay. I knew you were going to go there as soon as you heard
just
that.
Restating it, that's all.
That's another film that you watched in your private time. It didn't, and just, it
that
was
not a, it was Hunt. A micro-drama is what it was. I only watched it for a couple minutes.
I have an unpublished novel.
You do?
No, that's terrible. I'm not going to.
Yes, I mean,
that's right. John Keats on Trekkin says you are in the presence of a 136 IQ.
That's right. And John, you're tuning in to listen to him. So there.
There it is.
Question: do Garfield and Roberts?
Did you immediately think lasagna when you said it like
that? I did. Is he an orange cat that hates Mondays? Does Garfield and Roberts, do they do it in the movie? Is there that kind of sexual tension? Because he's too young for her.
They have done it.
Oh, no.
But they don't do it at that time.
There's no, like...
I don't care about the spoiler.
It's not a hard R.
He tries to do it.
Oh, okay.
In fact, that's one of the most significant moments of the film. However, the film just meanders. It meanders.
Any supporting actors to boost it at all that we've heard of?
No. Nobody that does a great job. It's just it got like 36% on Rotten Tomatoes.
Because what would be great to me is if you had the same movie, but one of the students was played by Jelly Roll.
Hold on. I got him.
Don't you think that'd be a good movie?
Come on now. Hold on. Okay, there we go.
I pooped myself one time.
Yeah.
Thank you, Jerry. Right.
Thank you, Garfield.
The thing is, these movies, I got to check them again. I'm going to go back to my old habit of, even if it's a streaming film, checking it on the tomatoes before I
Oh, you got to check the tomatoes.
Yeah, so avoid it.
The
avoid
worst
it like
thing you
the
can
plague.
Do is the top 10 most popular movies in America today, according to Netflix. It's always got Minions on it. Minions is like 30 years old. Stop
it. One last thing before we move on. We're running late, of course, as usual. Major announcement, of course. If you just tuned in, ladies and gentlemen, I'm retiring the end of January.
That's right, because Carla's with child.
Yes, she is. And I'm going to devote my time to raising
the baby. And you're going to midwife it. You're going to be her doula.
Yeah, I'm a doula.
That's why
that's going to be my next career. I'm going to be a doula.
That's why you were in the pool this weekend, making sure it was okay for the birth.
Well, I thought it was by the way, to diapers.
Hulkamania, you'd have to go a lot more than double for me to stick around. You know, thank you. Say an extra week. No, let me just say that that totally threw me for a loop when I said this.
How about this? You do that, and then we'll see. Double the money, and then we'll see.
Mm-hmm.
That's the way my dad would have handled it back in the day.
Yeah, you do that, and then we'll move on from there. We'll evaluate that when we come to it.
Yeah, we'll see.
All right, last little thing here. I think most people feel the same way. When you haven't seen somebody for a summer, like a school-related person, I'm not going to mention any names here. I'm not going to mention any occupations. It's not a teacher. But here's the thing. When you ask about someone, how was your summer? That's a courtesy ask, okay? That's not, I really want to know if something
you
was
don't
not
care.
Good.
You generally don't care.
I think that's a northern thing. I think when people ask down here, the people who are really from down here actually do mean and want to know.
It's weird. That's weird because in Florida,
I have no interest whatsoever.
I have no desire either.
It's summer all year round down there.
And so, in Maryland, you just tell people busy. And that's acceptable by everyone.
Mm-hmm. I don't want to know if it's good. No, I don't even want to know.
Here's the deal, Mike. If it's someone that you'd care enough to really want to know about their summer, you already know about it. because you've talked to them.
Exactly.
And if you haven't, you just say, fine, hot, whatever. Just piss off.
Right.
Don't be a jerk.
Yeah. But especially if it's a negative. Yeah. I don't.
Oh, you don't want that.
And the answer was something like, well, I was here. You know, it's like, okay, sorry I asked. You know, I didn't need that. I really didn't need that little moment. And believe it or not, I value that time. All right? I don't need that. I'm looking for, oh, it's great. How was yours? Super. See you later. That's what I wanted.
Hey, Mike, how was your summer?
It was great. How was yours?
Super.
Fantastic. See you later.
Yeah. Don't ask Josh. There's no time.
Actually, we had a spectacular summer. And I know you don't care, but we did. I loved the time with my kid. I loved every minute of it. A lot of him. And we're going back to baseball again. We're very, very excited. And he's going out for the golf team this week on Wednesday.
Oh, now, I remember he tried out last year. How did he do last year for the
golf
team?
He made the team.
Yeah, I thought so, yeah.
And the coach said they're gonna base it on scores this year.
Scores.
As far as who makes the team. So we're going out to the range to work on it today. If I
not
can get
mood
into
shifts
the
or like, what behavior.
Was it, what was it based on last year?
I got height? No idea.
No,
I
think only the handsome guys were
height, grade, attitude. I don't know.
Father.
Yeah. Father. Yeah.
Your father's connected. Well, it might be hard this year, what with the final voyage coming up.
Final voyage coming up end of January. Hope to see you there, ladies and gentlemen. We got to take a break. We will come back, and something the boys are going to talk about, Rob's injury. That's what I want to cover.
Stupid injury, to the worst.
But first, I'm a fighter. Are you a fighter? Have you been fighting Fatigua? That's the way I like to pronounce it. Have you been fighting Fatigua, weight gain, brain fog, or brain frog, low energy, poor sleep, or just not feeling like yourself? Find the solution. You don't have to guess what's going on. You can take the free wellness quiz at DermGlowSkin.com. Click the weight management and peptides button, and in just a couple of minutes, you will receive personalized wellness recommendations based on your goals. Whether you're interested in medically guided weight management, peptide therapies, hormone optimization, better sleep, healthier skin, or more energy. There are personalized options designed to help you feel your best.
Oh, that's the voice. Finish the read in that voice.
Everything is done from the comfort of your home through licensed medical providers. With products shipped directly to your door, you might even be able to use your HSA or FSA funds. And flexible payment options, including Klarna, make getting started easier than ever. Visit DermGlowSkin.com. Click the weight management and peptides button. Take the free wellness quiz and take the first step toward feeling like yourself again. Get started right now.
When?
Yeah. Good. At DermGlowSkin.com. It hooks the snook. It also reaches the beaches and rules the pools. DermGlow, buddy!
Yeah, buddy.
All right, so I put something in parentheses.
This I'm curious what you wrote.
I wrote on my show prep today, Rob's injury. And then I put something in parentheses, and let's hear about your injury before I talk about what's in parentheses.
All right, two things I want to say to preface this quickly is it always used to bother me when they would show a close-up of David Letterman's hands on TV because they looked like he had just come out of the field. They were horrible. They were cuticles all over, oftentimes a cut, sometimes a Band-Aid.
Yeah. Not
so
organ hands.
I don't like when things happen to my hands. So Josh has always given me a hard time. He says, your problem, Rob, is you have too many sharp things at your desk. I have, of course, the knife that's the model from Psycho. I have a box cutter. I've got all these things. But I think the most common thing—
I'm glad this caught up with you.
That I keep up with, Mike. And also, you'll appreciate this from having a past in radio. In radio stations, they always have little razor blades.
Oh, regular traditional straight razor.
Yeah, not for shaving, but for cutting tape.
And cutting.
But also,
would you possibly have a razor blade at your desk?
I have four of them right now, and within my sight, because they're like an X-Acto knife. They're great for like trimming stuff. You can also use them to just cut paper if you want, like half a sheet of paper. Scraping, they're good for scraping.
You haven't listed a single thing that Mike or I have done at our desk.
Okay,
ever.
Right. Well, they mean a lot to me. And maybe it is just habit. And I've got a box of them, too. But here, just so you know I'm not lying, on the little shelf in front of me right now, here are my four razor blades that I have at the ready. Okay.
At any spot on your desk, do you have a pair of scissors?
I do. That's another sharp thing.
That'll do everything that you need.
No, it won't scrape.
Everything. Scrape what?
Like if you have like goo on a box or something, you need to scrape it off, like glue.
I bet the scissors would work.
Yeah,
with glue on a box? What are you doing? Are you making paper mache airplanes? What the fuck,
Mike,
Rob?
I'm just ready, okay? And here's a use for it that it did come in.
JLP Design said lips.
Yeah, okay. How about fuck you? Okay. I had a small peeling piece of leather on the back door of my car because, you know, it's a 14-year-old car. And in
you
the
had
extreme,
what on your car?
Peeling leather. You know, like my lips, Mike. So the...
What do you mean peeling leather?
You know how there's like, if you look at the back door of a car, you're going to have the handle and the armrest, and then there's like a little leather panel that's just basically decor, right?
Yeah.
And so I guess the glue got too hot and it started to peel on the edges. So I did some research and they said the best way to fix this, you can get self-adhesive black leather simulated in a roll. It's mostly used for fixing like desk chairs. So it's like wide tape that's leather to fix it. So I had to make sure it was the right shape. What are you doing?
Nothing. I'm just listening.
Okay. You don't normally play with your waddle when I talk. So I'm just wondering what's going on.
Well, he's thinking of putting some leather tape down there.
I'm retiring January 27th.
So I got it. And in order to make sure it was the exact right size, I had to peel the other piece off to use it as like a template. And I laid it down and I sketched it around it with a silver Sharpie so I knew the shape. And to cut it, I said, you know what? Scissors would work. But what would be easier is if I just held the old piece of leather on the new leather and used this razor blade to cut around it.
Don't you need a cutting board or something to use
that? By the way, you have already negated my what was in parentheses.
What was in parentheses?
I wrote down item number 6, middle of the pack. Yes. So you were up there on the hit parade.
Yeah.
Rob's injury, parentheses, it'll be bullshit.
No, this is not bullshit. It's what it is. It's stupidity, Mike.
Okay.
So.
Yeah, it sounds like you're misguided the way you're doing it.
Okay, well, but it gets so stupid because I was so excited to figure out that I was going to do this cutting on the template. I grabbed the razor, and you know, you have to put a decent amount of pressure on the razor to make it cut. The razor was upside down. So I was pushing with
what
my index.
The razor was upside down.
It was blade side up.
Why?
So, because I was stupid and I wasn't paying attention. And I grabbed it. And when I pressed with my index finger to get the pressure.
So you picked it up thinking you were going to cut and you were on the. How in the name of God do
you
do
that? The beauty of this is because the razor is so sharp, you don't realize you've cut yourself right away because. It you know, a dull knife hurts more to cut yourself than a sharp knife.
Index finger?
Yeah, right here. It started to heal up now, but it was, I looked down and I said, what is that crap all over the leather? it's my blood.
Oh my God.
And this is the thing that really bothered me is that it was a bleeder for like 2 days. So I had to keep a Band-Aid on it.
Why is Hulkamania saying? They're having their own thing. Sorry.
Okay.
Sometimes I have to ignore them.
Okay. Yeah. So I had to keep a Band-Aid on it. And then I realized that once it healed, it kind of wrecked my fingerprint. So I couldn't use the fingerprint to get into my iPad anymore because my fingerprint was gone. Mm-hmm. And with the Band-Aid on, the Apple screens don't react to it. So, like, I could tap the iPad and it wouldn't take. So, Mike, I had to start tripping the iPad with my middle finger.
Now, Rob, this razor blade pushing down on the wrong side.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
You've done this before.
I have. But never this bad.
Are you thinking about losing the razors now?
No, I'm thinking about losing my fingers. But that is, I mean, I've had some stupid injuries in the past. Someday ask me about the bandsaw at the Christmas tree stand. This was a stupid one. But this is all-time stupid. And also, remember, I'm 55 years old. I should know better than this.
Did you ever have an injury with a, what do they call them, a mandolin slicer? Did you ever have an injury with that?
No, I've always been very, very careful with the mandolin slicer.
I wasn't. I took the whole tip of a finger off one time.
I had to take a friend to an emergency room once because because
and when I say tip, I don't mean like the knuckle out. I mean like the skin at the tip of the finger, clean sliced. I was looking down at it.
Yeah,
there was like an onion, and then there was my finger right there. Yeah, big fun.
You gotta be careful with a mandolin slicer, mm-hmm. also with a chainsaw.
Yeah, but I'm not. But listen, I did that. I did that terrible injury, but I'm not. I'm not going around lying about my IQ. Okay, come
on. Thank God for that.
Let's take a
break. All you lie about is this upcoming retirement.
Yes, that's right. It's all a big ruse.
It's a scam.
Hey, everybody. Let's face it. Nobody gets excited for their annual physical. Nobody. Not a single person. Nobody marks their calendar and says, "Oh boy, tongue depressors." Yeah,
yeah.
So before your next checkup, remember one name: Field of Greens, because what you do before that appointment matters. Field of Greens, I'm sorry, Field of Greens is one simple daily change designed to support your overall health. And they're so confident, your doctor will notice, they back it with a money-back guarantee. Doctors don't just look at your birthday anymore, they look at your biological age. How well your cells and vital organs are actually doing.
Organs.
Field of Greens packs doctor-selected fruits and vegetables into one daily scoop to support your cells, Pally. Heart, lungs, kidneys, and a healthy weight. And in a university study, participants who simply added Field of Greens to their routine saw measurable improvements in key health markers. One change, one scoop. Once a day, done. So, walk into your next physical with a little more confidence. Field of Greens. Make the change your doctor may actually notice. Make Field of Greens your one smart change this year. Check out the university study and get 20% off at fogchicks.com, promo code TMOS. That's fogchicks.com, promo code TMOS. Field of Greens.
Hey, I like that. Some beautiful video.
Jerry time.
Before we get to the video, Rick Schofield reminded me of the fact that one time I was warning Robert about how sharp the blade is in a food processor. Then I knocked it off the counter and tried to catch it and nearly cut my finger off. That's another good stupid one. Thank you, Richard. Mm-hmm, appreciate it. Mm-hmm. Mitch McConnell has recently come out and said that he is staunchly refusing to address the public while he recovers. So, with that in mind, I think it's nice that his grandkids have reached out to talk about the Mitch McConnell we don't know. There's a guy.
McConnell's grandkids.
Let's talk about it.
We knew the real Grandpa Mitch.
The one the media won't tell you about.
The grandpa who taught me everything I know about girls.
The grandpa who taught me how to count calories.
The grandpa who bathed with me until I was 14 because he knew I was scared to do it alone.
The grandpa who told me don't shave down there, ever.
One time he drove all the way from D.C. just to see my tuba recital.
He called me a fat skank for wearing a tank top to school.
Sometimes he'd run into a room naked and go, "I'm Mr. Wrinkles, I'm Mr. Wrinkles."
We couldn't take him anywhere.
The grandpa who always made his iconic noise.
The grandpa who taught me men can always tell if you're loose down there.
The grandpa would pull my pants down and spank me for hours.
He hated poor people. He thought they were smelly.
Immigrants too.
So, yeah, those are Mitch's grandkids. And although I'm not sure that's real.
Oh, my God.
They look funny. Like they could be his grandkids. That's what's great.
Too funny. Oh, that's great.
Mike, do you remember from our past, Dr. Parkenstein?
Parkenstein? No, I don't.
We've not checked in with Dr. Parkenstein in a while, but yesterday was his birthday. And he is the gentleman that appears to be in his mid-20s that lives life like it's the 1920s.
Yeah.
And this is him celebrating his birthday. This, to me, is as close to a nightmare on screen as I've ever seen.
Okay, today is my 26th birthday, and I will be dancing the Charleston. Why, you ask? Because I feel like it and I want to. Why not?
I've seen this before. I've seen this guy before.
Yeah. Oh, we've had him.
We've had him.
Yeah.
Yeah. But it's his birthday, Mike. He has to move the table.
The ceiling is like
suspiciously low.
Otherworldly low.
Yeah.
But I like moving the furniture because it proves it's a real room.
Because they get real brave because they're behind the camera.
Sounds like Kermit.
Now, what's great is he really.
There's a hole in that chair.
Because you're behind the screen. Anyway. Let's continue.
So he's going to crank up the record player.
He's got some stains on his pants.
It is from 1922, I believe. It is Yes, We Have No Bananas. Anyway, let me put it on the play.
And I like his period outfit, but I'm not sure that a lot of people had a giant afro in the 1920s.
No.
Yeah. But he is a hell of a dancer.
I want to see him dance.
He's a hell of a dancer.
And I like the Charleston, too.
Oh, Mike, you'll love this. This is, to me, the nightmare part.
I want to see the rest of the house.
Oh, we've seen his kitchen before, Josh. Yeah. Hopefully he doesn't hit anything. Oh, here he goes.
He's doing a good Charleston.
I know, but still. Everything is just wrong.
It's great, though. I'm enjoying it. That's what counts.
Isn't it sad that he's in a room by himself doing this?
I just want to know what the rest of the house looks like, too, Josh.
All right, you know what? I will look around and see if I can find some more Parkenstein videos because it is
like
his birthday
Parkenstein.
Week.
I like Parkenstein. Yeah. I really, really, really do.
Mike, you didn't do a lot of work in retail. I did. Josh, did you have any past in retail?
Yeah, I've done retail.
Okay.
I did retail. Yeah. I worked for Katz Creative Decorating.
That's right. And how did it end?
It ended, he said, generally things haven't worked out.
Exactly.
And it's the only time my father ever fought a battle for me. He called Dick Katz with the emphasis on Dick.
Yes.
And gave him a shit about firing me. Yeah, because I guess it doesn't matter. Do you think it's good to treat a kid like that? You know, maybe I'm not on your scale of values, Dick. Hang up.
That's pretty great.
Yeah, it was great. I felt good.
And then did he dance?
He did the Charleston after that.
Here's Mike's father.
Bill O'Meara.
In 1972.
Bill O'Meara with slightly longer hair.
He just didn't comb it out. Well, you have to watch out in retail for shoplifters. And one of the key ways to prevent shoplifting is, especially if you work at a counter, like at a jewelry store or a place like that, don't put too much stuff out on the counter at once because you'll not notice it. But you put stuff out one at a time, you'll notice if it goes. Mm-hmm. But this lady, I would never have the guts to try to steal a shoe polisher. This teaches you how to avoid shoplifting.
A professional shoplifter can get an item between her legs without you seeing that item.
Oh, my God.
She can steal it. This method can be used in any store.
Any store.
Rob.
This man had a profitable day. It's good merchandising to display as few articles on the counter as possible. A booster
What's he
would
got,
hesitate
a clip?
To take a loan. A
yeah, he's got clips on his belt.
He's got hooks.
And draw attention to his.
He's got
and
hooks.
I'd love to have that transistor radio. You could listen to music. Two quickies here. We're all dog owners. None of us own Huskies. Huskies, I think we know, are the most vocal type of dog.
They howl.
And, you know, I will get an occasional bark from Sebastian if we don't get up in time to feed him and let him out. But nothing like this. Oh, woe be unto the person that owns three husky dogs.
What? It's 7:30 in the morning. Your sister's... Your sisters are asleep. Shh.
Maybe the best dog video you have ever had.
I mean, I can't even.
This is what I will miss. Moments like this.
Just a little palate cleanser.
That's fantastic. Oh, I knocked my head.
And now let's close with this. We talked about you and Josh's your favorite restaurant yesterday, and this kind of puts it all into perspective for everybody.
Chili's. That's an Italian Chili's. That's a steakhouse Chili's. That's a Mexican Chili's.
Yep.
That's a seafood Chili's.
Yep.
That's a sporty Chili's.
Yep.
Mm. That's Applebee's.
that is
agreed.
Your beautiful video.
Agreed. Chili's wipes its ass with Applebee's.
Yeah.
My humble opinion. God
I don't like
it.
The Applebee's.
I'm not a fan either.
No.
I'm not a fan. Sorry, I'm having
Are you trouble. Okay?
I'm having trouble hearing myself, you know?
Oh, okay.
Yeah, the motor skills start to go when you're a senior citizen.
I was going to say, is this something mechanical or something emotional?
We got to get out of here. Thanks for listening. We'll be back tomorrow with a brand new episode, taping a little later on in the day, because I got a doctor's appointment. Hey, there you go. That's what I do. For Josh Sharok and Rob Spiewak, this is Mike O'Mara saying so long. Long, everybody.
Love you, Pop.
Thanks for listening to another episode of The Mike O'Mara Show. Please remember to click the Amazon link at tmospodcast.com before you shop online. It means a lot and makes the world a better place.
Mike O'Mara, Radio Entertainment.
We don't make mistakes. We have happy accidents.
I don't like spam!
Stripping down butt naked, bending over, and all you could see was cellulite hanging in pubic hair.